Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to get you ready for UFC 264 is Nick Kalikas, risk supervisor and UFC odds maker at Circa Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Fight Odds. Nick, great to have you back on the show.
Glad to be back on, man. How's everything?
Absolutely fantastic. And actually, I want to start with this. I'm curious, what's going on with Circa in Vegas right now? Give us a little insight into your world.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, Vegas is definitely back. I mean, we're seeing Fremont Street in general, especially Circa, is such an awesome attraction for, you know, the people, the newbies visiting Vegas, some traditional folks coming back in. You know, Vegas is the place to be. So Circa is booming right now. It's awesome. If those of you out there that you haven't checked it out, anytime you get a chance to, you definitely have to. It's just, like I said, it's an amazing spot. Busy. The sports book is growing constantly. And like I said, right now, everybody's just having fun in Vegas.
And what are fight nights like?
Well, we have a featured basically fight warehouse that we've taken and we've constructed inside of Circa. I mean, Derek Stevens has a great vision and he really knows how to cater to his consumers and the customers or whatnot. So we have these viewing parties at Circa. And it's just madness because the place is packed. It's awesome. I mean, it's a huge TV screen. People are watching the pay-per-view fights on, and it's a really good time. So I think it's even more elevated with us at Circa than most places. But Vegas in general, especially when Conor McGregor comes to town, it's just a different level. It's like the Super Bowl type of feel for me.
So I guess we're going to be talking about this UFC 264 card. We got Dustin Poirier taking on Conor McGregor. And let's start with that fight. Poirier minus 130 favorite, McGregor plus 110. And what's interesting about this is when this fight first opened back in January, McGregor was the favorite. And now we're seeing Poirier. I'm curious your thoughts on many. We know Conor was good, but he's 3-3 in the last six. We see him doing a lot of non-professional fighting stuff. He's such a personality, as you talked about. Boom, he is such a draw there. How are we supposed to think about this fight knowing that people just want to, from a square perspective, bet on Conor because we know Conor?
Well, honestly, I'm a bit surprised. You're absolutely right. The narrative is there right now. A lot of people are kind of questioning where Conor's at, but he does attract a lot of public action always, and the public loves to bet on Conor, right? But we are seeing more Dustin Poirier action. I mean, we had some sharp action come in on Poirier early on and mixed in with a lot of public action though too. It seems like a lot of people do think that Conor McGregor is one of these fighters that's not in his prime right now. He's shot, he's on the decline. Maybe the money's got to him to the point where he's living that comfortable lifestyle and not taking the sport as serious. So I think a lot of people are kind of thinking that's the spot that Conor's in. And Poirier looked amazing last time out. I mean, he's been so good. If you look at his run outside of Khabib, the guy's been fantastic. He's definitely considered the number one lightweight in the world, you know, obviously after the champion or whatnot. So he's right up there, and he rightfully so. He passed up a title shot to get this rematch, the trilogy, to get this trilogy with Conor McGregor, make more money, and then possibly go on to that title shot after this. So he's in a really good spot, and I think a lot of people are understanding the situation. But I'm not so sure Conor's done, man. I think a lot of people are writing him off a little bit too soon. The guy is a special talent. It's just not all his mouth that were come, you know, in his kind of demeanor and the way he brings attention to himself. He can actually fight, but let's not forget about that.
So if we think about this situationally, Poirier isn't going to take this if he thinks he's going to lose. And of course, he had just beat Conor, so we see every reason why he would want to run this back. He's going to raise his profile. He's going to make a ton of money. So there's a part of me that's like, all right, here's a guy who's coming in that really has everything to lose. And on the Conor side of things, it's continuing to run it back. He is the circus of the show that everyone loves to see. And I'm curious how you balance the sharps being on Poirier versus the public who sees, wait, I can get an underdog Conor McGregor right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a situation, especially where the line is now, we're going to have a lot of sharp action biting on Conor as well. It's not going to only be public action, especially with the plus money price tag. Because let's not forget, last time, I mean, he was a 300 favorite or so, right? The line opened minus 170, got bet up towards 300, some places over. So if you're looking at pure value, I mean, it's the trilogy, like I said, and you're getting him at plus money. And just because he lost the last fight, I think there's a lot of recency bias that went into that. So we're going to get a lot of public and sharp action on both of these fighters. So balancing this out, I kind of try to stay ahead of it a little bit, meaning that when the market was leaning towards Poirier, I actually kept us on Conor McGregor's side a little bit and attracted more money on Poirier purposely because I know the Conor money's coming on fight day. The Irish money's going to be there. Like you said, all the public fans are going to be there as well. So we're going to get, there's no question we're going to get bombarded with Conor McGregor money on fight day. So I kind of tried to stay on that side and take as much early action on Poirier as we could. And it's worked out pretty good because that's where we are at right now. We have more action at Circa on Dustin Poirier, but it'll level out a lot more as we get closer to fight day.
If we look at alternative ways to bet this on both sides, so certainly if you want to bet on Poirier as the favorite, or if you want to make things a little bit more enticing on Conor as a dog, what would be some ways that people can think about chopping this up other than just choosing one of them to win? Maybe it's by round or how they do it.
Yeah, I mean, the total is kind of tough right now because it got steamed up. It's 1.5 over. It's kind of heading towards 200. So if you miss the boat, and didn't grab the total -1.5, -150. I would probably stay away from that because it's a tough spot. I think realistically the sweet spot is probably around that 1.5 mark where this fight ends. Now, so if you're going to look at a prop, I don't think it hits the scorecards, right? So I think you either have to look at TKO by Conor McGregor, KO TKO, which is I think around +140, +145-ish, +150 possibly out there as well. Or you look at the Poirier side for a finish, and that's plus money as well. I believe it's, you know, upper couple hundreds, like around +200 or so for Poirier. So I do not think this fight hits the scorecards, but it could trickle over that 1.5. So that's where you got to be a little bit more cautious. But again, I think there is going to be a finish. There's just too much firepower, and this is a 5-round fight, and we've seen them basically not be able to kind of withstand what the other person throws in both matches so far. So I don't think it goes all the way, but it could trickle over that 1.5.
In terms of when we place our bet based on who we want. So if you wanted to bet Conor, is it smart to take the plus money right now? Or if you wanted to take Poirier, is it smart to wait until more of the public action comes in?
Exactly what you just said. I think if you're going to take Conor McGregor, that plus money is probably going to disappear. So you get in now and take a little bit of stab. If you want to kind of play the waiting game a little bit, so maybe put half of your unit size or whatever you're planning on betting right now, and then wait and see where it goes. And if you see the line start steaming down, then try to catch it before it does turn into a negative price. Because I think this fight will close with Conor McGregor possibly being a slight favorite or exactly a pick'em type of fight. So the plus money is disappearing on Conor. So get him now if you're going to get Conor. For Poirier, you would wait. I would wait because I do think, like I said, that plus money, it could show up on Poirier. If it does flip to Conor being -120, -125, -130, something like that, then you get Poirier at least even money or at plus money. So if you're backing Poirier, I would wait closer to fight day. If you're on McGregor, I would get in there before fight day.
All right, so let's move on to some of the other fights on the card. We got Gilbert Burns taking on Stephen Thompson. Burns coming off a loss to Usman for the title, a third round KO in February. I'm curious, why is Thompson favored in this fight? I'm reading he's a legit title contender, but he's also 38 years old, and he's taking on a guy who was just fighting for the title.
Yeah, but he's kind of the forgotten challenger, so to speak, you know, I mean, because he hasn't been as active and in the spotlight as much as Burns. Burns right now, I mean, coming off that title fight and that run that he went on to get to that title shot, it was impressive. And it was really in the fans' spotlight. And he's getting, I think, more of that run right now. But Thompson is a favorite, rightfully so. A lot of sharp action came in on Thompson. We opened him a slight favorite, and then we got back up a little bit. Now we're starting to see some money back on Burns as well. So he is the rightful favorite stylistically. It's kind of a bad matchup for Burns. I mean, if Burns doesn't get this fight to the floor, he's not going to outstrike Stephen Thompson. Stephen Thompson is one of the best strikers in the history of the sport. He is getting up there in age, you're right, but he still has some vintage performances. If you look at him, even in his last fight against Neil, I mean, Neil was an up-and-coming guy that they were trying to push towards a title shot as well, and that was a big fight for him. I mean, Stephen Thompson shows up and just kind of knocks these guys off that are trying to get over that hump and make it towards the top. So he's legit, and I think he can win this fight, but Burns is dangerous. He's got power, even though Thompson is the bigger and better striker, I should say. I think the power aspect of things, Burns could throw that big bomb and maybe rock Thompson and put him out, or then obviously the submission game for Burns is where it's at. If he gets this fight to the floor, he's going to beat Stephen Thompson. So it is intriguing at the plus money, but I think that Stephen Thompson is the rightful favorite.
If Thompson were to find a way to win, is he legit option against Usman, who has just seemed to destroy everyone?
He is a legit option because, again, he's not going to win Usman is not going to win the striking battle against Stephen Thompson. I mean, he's got that kind of power, again, that can change everything with one punch, but he's not going to outstrike him. So if he doesn't grind him out and get him to the floor, he's going to be some trouble too. And we've seen kind of a glance at this. I mean, it's a different level now, and Woodley was kind of more in his prime back then, but we saw some awesome matchups between Thompson and Woodley. Woodley being that wrestler with explosive power, similar to Usman. I mean, again, Usman beat Woodley. Obviously, we've seen what happened, and he's kind of Woodley's in the past right now. But that being said, stylistically, it's still a similar matchup for Thompson, and those were great fights. So this would be a great fight, too. And if he gets past Burns, I think Thompson deserves to be in that title shot.
I'm curious, how much does age matter in UFC? It's kind of difficult because when we look at some of the other sports that we would bet, where if a running back gets to 30 years old, he's pretty much toast. But now we're looking at someone, Thompson at age 38, Connor's in his 30s. And we so often see, I mean, look, Randy Couture back in the day was in his 40s. UFC's a little bit different. So how much does age come into this? Because I think a lot of people would just look and be like, here's a 38-year-old fighter. Does that necessarily mean that they're on the downside of their career?
It's tough, man. But what you mentioned just there, like Randy Couture, that's just a freak of nature, just a special athlete to go that deep into his career, especially this sport. But you're right. It does give me a lot of hesitation when these guys start getting in their mid-30s, though, you know, because all it takes is one fight to just change things completely. And then they start to decline and hit that spot. So, yeah, I'm a lot more cautious with these guys as they age. But, I mean, they're just such great athletes. I think Stephen Thompson, a guy like Thompson right now, has never been better, which is insane to say because he's 38 years old, like we've been saying, right? But I really think that his progression, because he came from that kickboxing and that striking background, and he learned how to become a complete mixed martial arts fighter, even though he still obviously favors that striking aspect of things. But his conditioning's improved. His mentality has improved. So he's never been better than age 38. So guys like that, you still got to respect it. But it is tough because, like I said, I like you and most people, I start to worry once they hit the mid-30s for sure.
So he's a modern day Rich Gannon. Got it. Remember when Rich Gannon had that MVP year back in the day? You're like, yeah, wait, yeah, this sure. Rich Gannon?
Yeah. Yeah. No. You love to see it, right? I mean, those
of
are
course.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
So moving on, we've got notable name Greg Hardy as an underdog, plus 110, taking on Ty, and apologies on the name, Toivasa, minus 130. So how do we think about Greg Hardy as a fighter? Because he's someone who certainly has the name recognition, unfortunately for the wrong reasons in the NFL. His UFC time has been marred with DQs and using inhalers, and it's not a fluid, normal thing for Greg Hardy, yet still here he is. He's plus 110 in his fight. What are your thoughts on Greg Hardy?
Another freak athlete. I mean, his personal issues, it is a shame. I wish that, you know, like I said, back in his NFL days and it just in general, you know, that definitely brings him down a little bit, I think, as far as the public opinion and everything, which is, it's a shame because he's such a great athlete, even in the UFC. I mean, he was an all-pro football player. We know that, right? Just special. He crossed over to the UFC and he became a legit heavyweight. This guy is legit. He's not just a gimmick getting used to get clicks or whatnot. This guy could fight. His striking is very impressive. And I think he's actually in a good spot here to beat Tuivasa. Tuivasa is not one of these guys that's going to look for takedowns. I think he's only went for like maybe one or two takedowns in his entire UFC career. And that was in his debut. So Hardy's going to have more problems, I think, personally, with guys that are looking to take him down. That's how he lost his last fight. But this fight kind of favors him stylistically. So I think he's legit, man. And I think it's a dog or pass situation for Hardy here. Like I said, it's a shame that some of that other stuff brings him down. But as far as competing, this guy, if he keeps on improving and keeps on elevating his game, he can find himself in a potential title match, as crazy as that sounds, one day in the UFC. But he just has to keep on improving and keeping his focus, I think. But that's how special this guy is. And let's not forget, the UFC heavyweight division is overall, in general, a little bit weaker. So a guy like him could come in there and make some waves and make some noise and make a run quicker than in most divisions.
Is there any sort of public bump or a lack thereof because of name recognition for him? And from a betting standpoint, like a casual fan, you go in to Circa, it's like, all right, I'm going to be betting the McGregor fight. And you're like, I've at least heard of Greg Hardy. Or are there people who say, I've heard of Greg Hardy and I don't want to support him? I guess it could work either way.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people love to hate him, so to speak, right? So they're going to bet against him. They're going to hope that he loses. And especially since he just did come off that loss, you know, he was doing well and then, you know, he suffered that defeat. So I think a lot of people writing him off and thinking, oh, he's not an MMA fighter. He's not a UFC fighter. He's not as good as everybody was hyping him up to be or whatnot. So I think that stains him a little bit, but I do think the name recognition does attract some bettors for him. You know, they're thinking, man, that guy was a great athlete. You know, he's doing MMA now. So he'll get some bettors betting on him because of that name value. But again, it's kind of both sides of things because a lot of people will bet against him too, just in spite, you know, they want that kind of a guy they love to hate, so to speak. Right. So I think it works both ways.
All right, let's move on to the biggest favorite on the card. Wonder Boy Sean O'Malley, -900, taking on Chris Moitino, +600. And we remember Sean O'Malley because he was so touted. Here comes this amazing guy, loses to Marlon Vera last year. He does bounce back with a win. I don't know anyone who's really looking forward to dropping a -900 in a UFC fight for a guy who is so highly touted, but we also saw lost. What are your thoughts on O'Malley? Because the train was supposed to get rolling and then it stopped, but now here he is as a favorite again. How are we supposed to think about this and or bet this fight?
Well, you can't really bet it, honestly. It's a dog or pass situation. I don't think the dog is going to come through in this spot. He's going to need to get some takedowns. He's going to need to get this fight to the floor. And O'Malley's the better striker, and I think his takedown defense is probably good enough in this spot, especially his opponent's coming in short notice as well. So O'Malley has more time to prepare. This is a winnable fight for him. Obviously, look at, I mean, the pricing is about right. So you can't really touch this fight, I mean, unfortunately. And I do think the hype around O'Malley is real, though. It's justified. I know he suffered that Vera loss, and his rise was crazy. I mean, everybody kind of got behind him, and a lot of people thought, again, there was a little bit too much hype. But going through the footage and actually watching this guy fight, he's a heck of a striker, man. I mean, he's elite in the striking department. Now, again, I think he needs to stay a little bit more focused and keep fine-tuning his game. His legs have been a little bit fragile, so to speak, as well, right? That's what's got him into some problems a little bit with absorbing some of those leg kicks and maybe tweaking. You know, with his footwork, he kind of ends up tweaking an ankle or so. So you got to be concerned. That's why you cannot lay. I think he's going to win the fight in probably an impressive fashion, but there's no way you can lay that kind of chalk because, I mean, in these situations, you know, fighters can actually get hurt. They can even, you know, like I said, step wrong, twist an ankle or something like that. We've seen it happen with a guy like that. So it's going to be probably an exciting fight while it lasts, but you can't touch that fight.
The thing that I noticed about O'Malley is he's going to have more eyeballs on him because this is a McGregor fight than he ever will. Meaning there's an opportunity for us to potentially learn something about him where he says, all right, it was a blip on the radar. Let's get to back-to-back wins. Is there something that we should be looking at around him saying, all right, maybe it's not this fight that we're concerned about, but if we want to start building our information bank for the future, knowing that we've got this rising star here, what should we look for out of him for maybe our next bet on him?
Well, he's going to get matched with a better opponent next time out for sure. It's going to be a lot more difficult. And he's starting to get call outs left and right. If you look at his social media, everybody's wanting to fight this guy. I think, again, a loss brings you down so much. Despite you getting back on the horse, I think if it's a fresh loss and it was kind of a bad, ugly loss for him, it just stays in people's minds. So I think a lot of people are looking to fade him. And a lot of these fighters are looking to call him up because, they're, oh, man, this guy's overhyped. I'll kill this. You know, they have that mentality like, oh, let's destroy this guy. He can't hang with me. So we're seeing a lot of those callouts on social media, and he's going to get an upper tier fighter. So his next fight is probably going to be difficult to bet, but you might find some value on him if he is getting disrespected, depending on the matchup. I think a horrible stylistic matchup for him in most cases is going to be somebody that can't take him to the ground and just, you know, control him, dominate him that way. So if he gets one of those fighters, then I would probably lay it against him or take the other side, depending on, you know, the matchup or whatnot. But if he's getting another striker and he's getting undervalued, I would probably go his way.
Is there anything else on this card that is of note that you want to let us know about or that you're seeing in the market or anything with the fights?
Yeah, a popular ladies fight, Kunitskaya versus Aldana. I mean, these two ladies can throw, and we're seeing a whole lot of action on both of these ladies back and forth. More so on Kunitskaya, the line is dropping a little bit more towards her, but still a lot of respect on O'Donna, and a lot of big bets are coming in on both these ladies, which I was a little surprised to see because this is one fight that I thought would fly under the radar a little bit, but it is going to be a great fight. I mean, stylistically, like I said, they both like to strike, but I think Kunitskaya is going to probably look to get this fight to the floor, get some takedowns and utilize her improving ground game. So I think that's why a lot of people are gobbling up that plus money value on her as well. So that should be a great fight and kind of a sleeper fight in the ladies division. And you know what? I mean, we see it time and time again. Women's bouts always deliver, man. They go out there and they give it their all. They're exciting. They got good gas tanks. They got pretty clean technique. And they're definitely fun to watch. So that fight is under the radar and probably worth checking out if you can on pay-per-view.
So, Nick, what I want to get you out on is sort of the fight industry in general. We've seen what we'll call a celebrity boxing circuit where you've got the Paul brothers, you've got Floyd Mayweather, you've got Conor McGregor over here. And I'm curious, first off, is this good or bad for combat sports?
Man, I think it's It's actually good. I mean, I know it is kind of a circus type of freak show stuff sometimes. I'm not loving these matchups, especially when they're so lopsided, when you get a Mayweather versus Paul or something like that, right? I like the type of matchups that are a little bit more real, I guess, like when Paul fought Askren. That was amazing to me because I think that fight, it just brought so much attention to combat sports, and the amount of handle we did on that fight surpassed many UFC events, and I could not believe it, man. People were firing away on both of those fighters, and so I think from a money perspective, I mean, they're doing great things, right? The Paul brothers and, like you said, Triller and all these places that are kind of matching, you know, we just saw Anderson Silva cross over and do a boxing match and he won. So, you know, again, they might not be the greatest pure boxing matches, but there is some intrigue and there's that draw and the star power that these guys have. People are tuning in. So you can't deny it. I think it's good clickbait for a lot of folks. I think the media, you know, is going to get more attention as well. So it's kind of a good thing for the sport, despite sometimes the fights being so lopsided. And sometimes we can't even offer odds on some of these fights, right? Because if they're not official bouts and they don't have a commission backing them and it's not going to be scored, like, because some of these fights, the stipulation is like, if it goes all the way, it becomes a draw basically, right? So we can't even line some of them, but I still think overall it's pretty good because it brings more attention to the sport in general. But make no mistake, it's not the UFC. I mean, the UFC is definitely a different beast and clearly a better situation for fight fans to see the pure beauty of martial arts and combat sports in general.
I have to think we're going to see more of this because we are in the attention era where branding is huge. That's why the Paul brothers are relevant in this conversation, because I saw a lot of UFC fighters calling those guys out because, like, who in the world are they, except for the fact that the UFC fighters might have 50,000 followers and the Paul brothers are each rolling in at 10 million plus. So while I get the purists of this is what a real fighter looks like, we're no longer in the purity game. We're in the dollars and attention game. And if you can bring 10 million YouTube subscribers to something and the pay-per-view is doing a gigantic handle, all of a sudden you're going to continue to see more people duplicate the model. No different than Steph Curry shooting from way downtown. And now all of a sudden you see NBA players and young people now shooting from way downtown. I have to imagine brand building is going to evolve because there's dollars there.
Absolutely. You're right. That's why I think it is kind of good for the sport in general. You know what I mean? The more attention that these guys get, and you said the star power that they have with YouTube views, everything like that, it's working, man. They're making money and it's basically going to cause the whole industry to rise as far as fighter pay in general. So it's a good thing, which, you know, I mean, that's been argued for years now, are fighters getting paid enough across all combat sports or whatnot. So this, I think, will elevate the game and people are starting to open up their eyes and realize what kind of draw power some of these guys have. So, hey, the Paul brothers are okay. I mean, like I said, I think they're doing some great things. And I'm shocked at the rise, to be honest with you. But I think they're actually decent boxers too, right? I mean, you got to give them a little bit of credit. It's not like they're just showing up and getting destroyed out there. They're putting work in, they're training, they're taking the sport serious, and they're coming out and performing at a respectable, you know, show. So I think they're legit, seriously. And across the board, I think that's why you're seeing so many fighters want to call them out. It's a payday, man. It's a huge payday.
How should we think about UFC fighters crossing over? Because my initial gut reaction when I saw Ben Askren, I was like, this guy is a professional fighter where it's mixed martial arts. So boxing is part of their arsenal. So here's someone who is a wrestler or all of these different things. Then you move over to Anderson Silva, one of the most deadly strikers in counter defense experts that we've ever seen. But then, of course, there's nothing that says these other non-professional fighter names can't be just as dedicated or care more than these others. And I'm curious your thought process on how we can think about this, because this won't be the last UFC fighters that we've heard of that enter into a boxing ring versus someone that we may or may not know. And I'm quick to be like, oh, the professional fighter is going to win this. But we saw in the Ben Askren fight, if that guy shows up overweight and he's not really motivated to do this, all of a sudden our initial instincts aren't correct.
Yeah, you know what? That Askren fight, I tell you what, I said it from the beginning and I stayed with it the whole time. I knew it was going to be a terrible fight for Askren, because here's the thing. I mean, you're right. He is a professional fighter and mixed martial arts, it's all aspects of the game, including boxing. But he was a wrestler in mixed martial arts. That's how he got his wins, and that's how he dominated and got to where he was at in the UFC and MMA in general. So I think there's a huge difference. If you're getting, anytime you're getting a wrestler that doesn't have striking match up with these guys that have a little bit, even if it's amateur boxing experience, those guys are going to have an advantage over guys like Askren that they're just one trick ponies kind of in mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? So to me, that wasn't a true thing. It was almost a shame that like Askren represented the UFC or MMA in a boxing match like that, because that's not his style. So it wasn't a true look for combat sports or mixed martial arts fighting a guy like that. You know what I mean? Like, because let's face it, if this was a real fight, Askren would have killed him. Askren would have took him down and just destroyed him probably in like under a minute. I mean, that's how like a real fight. But again, the rules change. It's not, he had to use strictly boxing, and that's not his thing. I mean, his boxing is pretty awful, to be honest with you. And I knew that going in. So I was just shocked with the amount of people backing Askren, but it was that narrative that you just said. A lot of people said he's a real fighter. He's durable. He's been in there with better fighters for sure. That's all true. But if they're not matched up correctly and the styles just are way off like that, then obviously these guys are going to have the advantage and they can pick off some of these UFC or MMA fighters.
Well, what about some of these good fighters? So I saw Woodley throw his name into the ring of like, I would like to fight one of the Paul brothers. And all of a sudden I'm like, here is someone who's a really good fighter that you look at him physically. That guy is just chiseled. And we know he's one of the best at certain points in his career. So I look at him completely different than I did Ben Askren.
Absolutely. He's got a better shot because he does have some striking. Now, again, he's got that wrestling background though, right? But he's knocked people out in the UFC. He's struck with some great strikers. So he definitely has more of an even type of matchup with a guy like that, right? With the Paul brother. I think he can have a little bit more success and possibly even get the W there as far as comparing that to Askren. But the only problem I have with this now with Woodley is, man, the Paul brothers are just very smart because they're getting a shot Woodley as far as him. He's on the decline of his career. Even if he had all that success in the UFC, we've seen his recent performances. And look, his last fight, I give him a lot of credit. He's a warrior. He went out on his shield. I mean, he went out there to win. He didn't go out there just to cruise and maybe, you know, have a boring fight. So that was what you'd like to see with Woodley. But the truth is, I don't think he can absorb the punishment like he used to a couple years back. And I don't think his offense is going to be where it was either. So this is a good time for Jake Paul to come in and beat a guy like Tyron Woodley and pick off a huge win, which would be much better than the Askren fight, in my opinion. But I do think this is far more competitive, and this is more of a real type of boxing match, in my opinion.
Last question. What is the current state of boxing? So we see all of this excitement around MMA in the celebrity fighting circuit, but now we've got boxing, which is very much it almost seems like a regional or a niche sport, similar to hockey. The local markets love their hockey teams, but if you're not in one of the local markets, you're probably not watching hockey. And I feel similarly for boxing. The people who love boxing, man, we love boxing. But for the casual fan, I'm not sure if it's there because we don't have any star power, at least from a casual standpoint, or it's not as consistent. Like right now, if someone said, name me the top three boxers in the world, well, pound for pound guys are going to name it, but the casual fan is not. So I'm curious your thoughts on the current state of boxing.
Yeah, we just need more of the marquee matchups to be in people's faces. Like Spence and Pacquiao is coming up, and that's going to be an amazing fight, right? Obviously, we have the Wilder fight coming up, right, against Tyson Fury. That's going to be probably a pretty good fight too. So those bigger fights, the Canelo fights, Teofimo Lopez, Triple G's, I think when we see those fights, when those guys are fighting, boxing is still alive, and we're seeing that draw, and we're seeing people care about boxing, right? But outside of that, you're right. I mean, if it's not a marquee fighter in that type of level or that category, people don't really care as much, you know? So that's a shame. I think boxing has definitely taken a step down, especially with the growth of UFC. But now with some of these like circus fights that we're talking about, boxing is coming back to life a little bit. And again, if we see some more consistency in some of these guys that have bigger names continue to fight, I think boxing is going to be okay. I mean, and we do have some up and coming future, you know, prospects, of course, that are going to be great one day. So there's a lot to like, I think, potentially about boxing. And it's going to be, I think it has that chance to kind of be back and respected and really be loved again, right? I mean, I think a lot of fans have backed away throughout, you know, the last few years or whatnot, but I think with the combination of combat sports growing in all different aspects, I think the boxing will be okay. Especially, like I said, we keep on getting these marquee fights. That's a good thing.
Nick, really enjoyed this conversation. Where can everybody connect with you?
Check me out on Twitter @FightOdds. And of course, Circus Sports, come in and check out the sports book. If you're in town in Las Vegas, you could, you know, check it out, like I said, and make some bets with us at Circa as well. We have all the fights, props, everything you want. And of course, all the other sports as well.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your UFC 264 card? And more specifically, are you betting for or against Conor McGregor? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.